right to die with. All right. Say all right. Say yes. Say yeah. I know he's all right. When the devil come your way, when you got trouble in your way, have to cry sometimes, laying awake at night, roll over on your pillow and say, wake the house up and say, I know he's all right. Tell everybody in the house when things ain't going your way, say, baby, get on up. Let's run through the house and say, I know he's all right. When your money acting funny and your change is strange, say, when the bill collectors call, answer the phone and say, I know he's all right. When they're acting up on the job, step back off your line, do a little dance and say, I know he's all right. Cause every time I turn around, the Lord, I say the Lord, he keeps on blessing me. Say yeah, say yeah. I know he's all right. Yeah, when they come tell you what somebody said about you, say it's all right. Cause if they lied on Jesus, they gonna lie on me. If they talked about Jesus, they'll talk about me. What they did in the green tree, they're gonna do it in the dry tree. Say, I know he's all right. Yeah, yeah. I know he's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
You'll turn them, if you will, to the book of Psalms, number 133. Psalms number 133. We're dealing all day today with this issue of teamwork. Teamwork. How necessary it is, how beneficial it is when we all pull together for the glory of God. Psalms number 133, beginning at verse 1, recorded are these words. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. So powerful is this statement. How emphatic it is. Grammatically speaking, there is an exclamation point at the end of the sentence to echo the sentiment of exclamating this point. It's not just one that should be taken lightly, but rather it introduces us to information that will inspire us if we obey it. Behold, how good, and conjunction tying together this next reality, how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters of the faith, God's children, to dwell, brought about from this compound word, both to do and dwell together in unity. Everybody that dwell together is not there in unity. Everybody that comes together is not in unity in their gathering. Everybody, just because they may be in one place, does not necessarily mean that they're on one accord. And so the emphasis here is not just being together in one place, but having one mind and one spirit to operate to the glory of God and the good of those who participate. When we look at this word today, my brothers and sisters, it is a powerful word that encourages us to be unified in the things of God, to make sure that we are operating in what God has given to us as a ministry and as a work. And as we see this and walk through some scriptures, one of the things that I shared earlier, I want to share with us today, is the fact that there are three areas that we focus on to work in unity and unison together as we go about the job description that God has given to each of us so that we might do what pleases him through his word, his will, and his way. One of the things that I think you're going to understand is the first point of focus is going to be teamwork in the fellowship. Teamwork in the fellowship. You're writing notes, whether we get to them or not, I just want you to know there's also going to be teamwork in the family structure. And then thirdly, there's going to be teamwork with the Father. Now, these areas, again, are the basic areas, but the truth of the matter is that in every area of life, every place in life, there is a need for teamwork, for unity to be a part of the process of whatever you're going to be a part of so that it might be profitable and productive. Now, look at this, because one of the things that the Word says in Psalm 133, behold, which means to focus in, to pay attention. This is so very important. It's followed by a comma, the pause, because again, God wants you to know that one of the reasons why you might not be meeting with success in your organization, in your relationship, in your fellowship, could very well be that there is no unity or no togetherness in your group. You can always draw the point of problems to the place of disharmony and disunity in every situation. If you get the problem taken care of, then productivity will proceed. If you find where the problem is and rectify the problem, then you will go on with the process that will bring forth the profit. Am I talking to anybody in the house today? And one of the things that I want you to understand is, as you look at this word, and we're going to move forward, if we're talking about teamwork in the fellowship, as the psalmist begins this writing, how good and how beautiful it is for brethren, brothers and sisters of the faith, to dwell together, to do well together in unity. Now, what unites us? The family of God, the fellowship of believers, the faith that we walk, talk, and live in, that unifies us. One mind, the mind of Christ. This is the word. If we'd all get together on this one word, if we all understand this one word, if we all obeyed this one word, if we all walked in this one word, then we would have unity in the fellowship and the faith. And so it's important for you to understand that we can't complete the Word of God without knowing the Word of God. And the Word of God reveals the will of God. The will of God reveals the way of God. And so when we know this, we can, in our individualized roles in this corporate setting, do our specific parts so that as each person does his part, as they are given assignments by God, placed in the ministry, placed in the body to do, the entire body is benefited and blessed. I want you to see something else, because when we're looking at this word, look at Matthew chapter 18 right quick. God has blessed us in this ministry. We have two locations, but we only have one ministry. Now, for the members of this ministry that doesn't understand that if you attend inner city or you attend a Blunt Road location, that it's still just one church, then I want you to pay particularly close attention to this message, because what you need to understand is you don't belong to Greater King David on Blunt Road. And you don't, whoever belong to Greater King David on Harry Drive, you belong to Greater King David Baptist Church, period. Whether you worship here or you worship there, you're a member of one church ministering in two locations. That's simple. That's simple. You know, I hear some people say, I met some of your members. They told me they go to church over at the Blunt Road, that church they belong to. What is their name? Need to have a talk with them, because they don't understand. We're one church. If we grow to 20 churches, we'll still be one church ministering in 20 locations. If we grow to 50 churches, we're one church ministering in 50 locations. It don't matter, because the truth of the matter is we have one mind, and that's the mind of Christ. And his mind should be in all of the believers together, working according to his word, his will, and his way. Look again at Matthew chapter 18. I want you to look at verse 19. It says, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, agree where? On earth as touching something? Anything that they shall ask, listen, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my, what? In my name, there, where there is unity in the gathering, there, in my name. Notice he says, I am there. If you're gathering in the name of the Lord, it's not about your agenda. It's not about what you think it ought to be. It's all about the Lord. If it's all about the Lord, then you need to focus your attention on what the Lord wants, and it's not about what you want. All of us with our individual minds, our thoughts, and all of the ideologies that we have, if we tried to do what we wanted to do, this would be mass confusion. But when we come together for the purpose of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, of glorifying the Word, the work, and the will of God, if we do that, then we all with our different minds coming on one accord can give him glory. Listen to what he says. If just two or three would get themselves on one accord and touch and agree on that one thing, regardless of what it is, he say, I'll join myself to it.
Now, let me tell you also the truth of the word. If you will recognize, brothers and sisters, that the word is clear in 1 Corinthians 14 chapter and verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, God is not the author of confusion. So that means wherever confusion is, Christ isn't. I'll say it again. Wherever confusion is, Christ isn't. He's not going to be a part of stuff that's messed up without people knowing their roles and their responsibilities and understanding leadership and fellowship. He's not going to be a part of anything that's not done decently and in order. He will not join himself. It does not begin. God's not going to tell you to do one thing, tell me to do one thing, tell somebody else to do another thing, and it's conflicting with the total or the big picture. If he tells you to do something and me to do something and somebody else to do something else, it's all in concert together so that at the end, it's going to end up the way that he desires it to end up. So that means we've got to learn how to work together. Touch your neighbor and say, we've got to learn how to work together. Now, here's the thing. It says, brethren, if family can't learn how to work together, what hope is there for the world? If we who sit side by side one another can't even love one another, can't even lift up one another, can't even pray for one another, is talking about tearing down, bringing about demise for one another, then what hope is there for the world? Now listen at this, because it's important for us to recognize and realize that our role and our responsibility is to operate together in unity. The unity that binds us not only is Christ, but it's God's love. You see, we should not be disappointed at our differences, because all of us have differences. But we should celebrate our differences. What do you mean by that? Well, first of all, God uniquely made each one of us, and all of us are wonderfully made. Now, just because I don't look like you, I don't talk like you, I don't act like you, I'm not you. I can't be you. But if you flip the coin around, you don't look like me, you don't talk like me, you don't act like me, you ain't me. I don't expect you to act like me. But because you are who you are because of him who made you, I know you're not no junk. You are treasure. God made you. And because God made you, you are somebody. You're not just something, you're something else. Hey, y'all don't hear me here. And I celebrate you as something else. Because I am something else, you are something else. We ought to touch somebody and say, I'm something else. Yes, you sure are. Hallelujah. All right. Now listen at this, because I need us to move on right quickly. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Mark chapter 16. Now look at what Mark chapter 16 says, because we're talking about, again, still working together as brothers and sisters in the fellowship. Mark chapter 16, verse 19 and 20. Verse 19 reads, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20 says, and here's our focal point, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back on high, the word says, and they went forth. How did they go forth? They went forth together. They went forth as a unified army of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were armed and dangerous against the enemy's kingdom, Satan himself. They had power to cast out demons. They had power to heal the sick. They had power to raise the dead. They had the power of the Lord Jesus Christ operating in the natural realm, because he had given them the authority, according to the word, to continue. And he said, occupy till I come. And so the reality was that as he had done,
Son, while he was here on planet Earth, sent them out two by twos, not one by one, but two by two. One preached the word, the other said amen to the word. He or she was a witness to the word, and whenever the word goes forth, God always has a witness to the word. And that's why I say something is wrong when the word goes forth and you don't have a witness or an amen to the word when you know the word is true. He sent them there to bear witness, and then he completed that by adding his signs and wonders to it, meaning that God backed up what he said. And when you've got some believers who know that God will do what he says, one who is speaking it or preaching it and the other who's witnessing to it and testifying to it, it then gives God the ability to move and flow in the earth realm to repeat the process all over again. But we've got to learn how to work together. Look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn there right quickly. Now, even though I'm going to come back here a little bit later, I just want to show you what verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I said to the church earlier that one of the reasons why we have so many different pastors, preachers, evangelists, ministers, churches, etc., is because God was too wise to know that one man would not be able to save Jesus Christ, and he himself, even in his own time, could not win everybody to him. One preacher will never win everybody over. But every preacher has been assigned to preach the gospel, to reach the people who God know will respond to that word. Every church, every pastor has given or assigned sheep to his fold. He is responsible for feeding them, for leading them, for giving to them the instructions of God. He is responsible not only for what he say, but what he allows to be said from that pulpit. So if a brother comes here and preach a gospel that's not like this word says, it is my responsibility to get up to that congregation. I have to say, brother, I understand. I don't know where you are on this level of spirituality, but I got to straighten out something that does not line up with the word. Because if I let you leave here and I know that's messed up, I'm accountable for it, because I'm responsible for everything that comes over this pulpit into your ears, into your spirit. That's why you got to be careful where you go and eat at. Home-cooked meals are the best. But I know it's all right to eat in restaurants and fast foods and so forth, because sometimes you can't always get what you need at the moment you need it. It's all right, but you need to be careful where you eat. Listen, how many know you can't eat from everywhere? All right, y'all sitting there looking holier than thou at me here now. Now again, it's important to understand Paul is making a point. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, verse 7, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, why is this important to understand? He's saying literally that we are simply ministers. We are simply vessels. We are used for the glory of God. It's not about the personality. It's about the performance and the position God has ordained for us as personalities to operate in. Don't get hung up on the preacher. Get hung up on the preaching. Because Paul said, if you really want to know it, I ain't nothing. Apollos ain't nothing. And the only one who is something is the one who can make what he and I said together grow, make it fruitful, make it productive. And so you got to see the vessel as the vessel and understand the valuables that God has placed in the vessels so that you can keep the focus right. Whole lot of you are going to miss the mark for looking at the man. It's the message. The message. Listen again. Now, let's move to another arena. We talked about teamwork in the fellowship. And team here is used as an acronym for together, everyone accomplishes more. T-E-A-M. Together, everyone accomplishes more. Team in this illustration. Now, what you've got to understand is, even when you look in the family structure, there must be teamwork there. Let's look in Amos, if you don't mind. Chapter 3 and verse 3.
Amos chapter 3, verse 3. And the word says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now hear this word. Can two walk together except they decide and determine that we're going to the same place, in the same direction, at the same time? It's very difficult to go to the same place with somebody who's trying to go to another place. So the word says, can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, there is not going to be unity nor harmony if we are not trying to go to the same place. Because your agenda is going to be different from my agenda. Your timing is going to be different from my timing. What you desire along the way is going to differ from what I desire because we don't agree on the destination or the destiny. Now look at this. There are three things that must happen in order for you to walk together and be successful in your journey and reaching your destiny and or destination. One, you've got to communicate. You know, that's one of the ways and one of the instruments that the enemy used more than not to destroy relationships and families and situations because we don't know how to communicate. We don't really know how to talk to one another and be truthful in communicating. You know, people, and I want to throw this out parenthetically so that you'll understand this. People don't necessarily grow apart. They just never really talked thoroughly enough to decide where they really wanted to go. You see, if you really spent some time, if you wasn't so fast in the beginning of your relationship, trying to progress beyond the natural steps of the relationship, which meant getting to know the person, regardless of what the arena is, it's about a relationship one-on-one first before you get into all of the other things of the relationship. The better you know a person, the better you're able to communicate with a person. You know that person, you understand that person knows you, that person understands you. And so in communication is more than just talking. Now listen at me well. These things happen because folk don't truly communicate. And so it's one thing to say, do you want to ride up the street? And they say, yeah, I want to ride up the street. And you planning on going on out of town. Well, we ain't talking no further than up the street here. And at the time of up the street, you got to get out the car because the person is still going on. Well, I don't want to go. Well, I got to go. And so something happens. They separate because they're not going to the same place at the same time. So communication is important to understand that you must know what's in the other person's heart and mind and spirit as they must know what's in your heart and your mind and spirit so that when you communicate about whatever it is you want to do, where you want to go, what you want to have, what you want to achieve and or accomplish, you both know each other's agenda. Well, the second thing you've got to do to walk together is compromise. Compromise. Because it's not all about you and what you want and where you want to go and on and on and on. It's about both of us. If we're going to walk together, then the other person matters. And I keep telling folks, if you matter, when I ask your opinion, tell me what's your opinion. Don't say nothing. And then when I make the charge, they say, well, you know what? Speak to the hand. I'm just joking. But you must know that you are so important to the relationship that your opinion matters. It's going to be a part of what the end decision is going to be. Listen, if there's any time to hurt feelings, it's at discussion time. Not later down the road. Let's get this together. Let's work this out right here, right now. Let's make sure we're on our same page, going the same place, doing the same thing. We work all of this out. Then when troubles come down the road, we still got our game plan. And all you got to do is tell it, let's stick with the plan. Just stick with the plan. We had a little interruption, had a little trip interruption here. That's all right. We got the tire fixed. Let's stick with the plan. Let's keep on going. Some of us let a blowout turn our whole trip into a disaster. You got a spare tie, put the spare tie on, get another tie later down the road, but let's keep on going down the road. Don't be, man, I'm going back home. I done got a flat tire. Don't, wait a minute. We're going to have some issues. But the plan is to make it to our destination. Now listen at this. Because when we learn to compromise and learn that it's not going to be one person.